Let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, good, beautiful Wednesday evening to you out there in the North State. Yeah, I'm actually live in studio tonight. We do have a couple of interviews coming up, and it should be fun. Everything's happening now. Hockey hasn't really started yet. They probably started training, but NBA teams have already started training. You know, you've got NFL's in full gear. We'll have that for a while. Baseball, my favorite time of year other than spring training is playoff time. And by the way, the A's in that wild card playoff game, the play-in game, as it were, hosting Tampa right now and losing 4-0, but it is early. As baseball goes, if you're going to fall behind early because that gives you a lot of chances to come back there. Trailing 4-0, Rays have scored in each of the first three innings, in fact. Homers by Diaz and Garcia off Manaea, who started tonight. So we'll keep you up to date on that. No sense in tuning anywhere else. Well, we've got baseball playoffs. National League Division Series is tomorrow. Braves will host the Cardinals. And the Nats, who played their way in with a heartbreaker if you're a Brewers fan. I just didn't feel like it was Milwaukee's year with the injury to Yelich. Him being out for the playoffs, but great season for them. But the Nats with an incredible comeback win, getting their runs in the bottom of the eighth, to beat the Brewers 4-3. They play the Dodgers. That's coming up starting tomorrow. That's the other NLDS series, and then the American League Championship Division Series begins with the winner of tonight's game in Oakland at Houston. And that's on Friday. And then Minnesota also on Friday at the Yankees. And I'm kind of leaning towards Minnesota. It could be my bias that, I admire the Yankees. But, you know, I was a Braves fan forever. I covered a lot of the West Coast teams in my career. So I have that East Coast bias thing. I do respect, obviously, the Yankees and the incredible talent. But something about Minnesota, man. They could be that team that nobody's expecting to do damage, but we will just see. So that's coming up tomorrow. On tonight's show, or this show right now, Joey Brown is going to be – we're going to hear from him in just a minute. He's the head coach of the Foothill Cougars. They are hosting our game of the week on Friday night. Is this mic sounding all right to you? Should I get right – oh, it still sounds a little – when you go to this one? Because it sounds a little weird. Let's go to this mic. We change mics? Yeah, that sounds a little less – I don't know. I may just have a horrible headset. But anyway, I'm talking to Jared out there, who's in the other room. You're out there, wherever you are, in Radio Land. But our game of the week coming up in just a couple of days. Red Bluff, who would figure they're winless. That just doesn't happen. They played a very tough schedule that is very deceptive. So winless Red Bluff at 2-2 Foothill to open league play for those teams. Pre-game at 7:15. And kickoff around 7:30. That'll be coming up Friday night, our game of the week. So we appreciate that. We'll get to that in a second. And then later on, we're just waiting on them to finish practice over at Shasta College. And that is where head coach Brian Hamilton will be calling us from school to talk about his Knights' terrific start to the season. They are 4-0, and they're practicing until about quarter after 6. So we should be hearing from him in just a couple of minutes. But here in the first segment, Let's talk high school football. We mentioned Joey Brown, head coach of the Foothill Cougars, the quarterback school. It's kind of becoming that, but they've really developed a great program over there. And in fact, ironically, Brian Hamilton was a guy that helped to build that program, and he since obviously went and left and returned to college and so on. But anyway, Joey Brown is the head coach there now, and are we ready, Jared, to hear that interview with Joey? So let's listen in.
Test, test, test.
Oh, we got to cue that up. You going to cue that up for me, buddy?
Test, test, test.
There we go. This thing is test, test, test. Don't worry, I don't curse or anything. And then I say 3, 2. You got it?
So I'm just count down.
I'm just going to count down.
This has been a year where I don't want to say it's hard to tell about your team, but you've had a couple of key games where you had a tale of two halves. We can go back to that West Valley game that I know now seems like a million years ago in high school football terms, but a lot of people are looking at that. I mean, you had them up, and of course they rallied for a dramatic win. Have you been able to put that four quarters together, and do you believe that's the key for you guys?
I still think we're waiting to play our best football for four quarters. We've had, like you said, we've had flashes, we've had moments where we've played really well, but you know, that's what the non-league's about, is kind of figure out who you are as a team and how you improve on your deficiencies. And so, yeah, I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're getting better each week.
The games where I've seen scoring points, not a problem for you guys. Talk a little bit about your offense, if you could. Looks like you have some depth there, and you know, what are we expecting to see Friday night?
You know, I think we've seen a maturation of Brandon Merriman, a guy who it took him a little while to make the transition back to quarterback from receiver for us, and just to build that timing and that rhythm with his receivers. But he's done a good job. You know, we've dealt with some injuries early on, and guys just trying to get their timing back. But you know, Tyler Carey emerged as a guy that we expected him to be, a guy that can make plays. And, you know, so our goal has been trying to get him the ball as quick as possible and as often as possible. And so offensively, you know, we were able to get our passing game going. But as everybody knows, you got to run the ball to win the AAL, and you got to run the ball to win the section title. So that's something that we've tried to put an emphasis on during this bye week.
There is, and you mentioned quarterback. Big shoes to fill for anybody, right, who has to tell us a little bit about that and what that young man's up to now.
Are you talking about Brandon?
From last year.
Oh, yeah, Jaden. You know, Jaden went to Idaho State. They really liked him as an athlete, and they put him in their secondary. A couple of issues that came up, financial aid being one of them, and so Jaden's back at Shasta College, and I think he's pretty happy with his decision of where he is and hoping just to kind of relaunch himself in about a year or two. But yeah, so I mean, we've had a good history of quarterbacks here at Foothill High School, going back to, you know, back to Perry Cloud and even guys before that, most recently with Trent Banner and with Jaden, and Brandon's taken it all in stride. You know, we've never told him to be somebody he's not. We've always told him to be himself, and prepare the way Brandon Merriman should prepare. And he's embraced that. He's done a good job. And I don't feel like he feels like he has to fill those shoes at all. I think he just runs the offense the way he's gifted. And that's where I think we've found our stride.
So a lot of times in high school, when you talk about developing quarterbacks and being known for that, you can say that. A school could say that, but you guys obviously talk the right talk, because your quarterbacks make a lot of decisions out there once the ball's snapped. I've noticed that in the few years I've been here.
Yeah, I mean, we build our system around what our quarterbacks can do. If our quarterbacks are a run-first guy, as the last 2 years, you know, we did that. A quarterback previous 2 years was a pass-first guy, you know, and we were able to build our offense around him. And so I think that's, you know, that's a credit to our kids. You know, it's a credit to our coaching staff, but it's a great credit to our kids, and just being able to put a system in place that allows our kids to succeed, and that's what we just aim to do here.
Defensively, you've been in a couple of big battles. What is the psyche of this team? Because you got wily old defensive coaches in there to help you, and certainly they've seen a lot. What about this team? What's the personality defensively?
Defensively, we're just working on developing an attitude, discipline, just trying to develop that attitude of 11 guys in a phone booth, what we like to call it, just rallying, gang tackling. You know, if you look at our West Valley games and you look at our Eureka games, defensively, some of the best football we've played here in a long time defensively, just dominating the line of scrimmage. And you know, so sometimes when you play well, a young team, we'll learn to sit back and relax a little bit. And you know, we've had to get on these guys just about being disciplined in practice and demanding the same effort on a Friday night, on a Monday through Thursday. And so this is a team that, like I said, we're trying to catch our stride on all areas of football, offense, defense, and special teams. And they're working. I mean, we got a lot of young guys who are new to our system as far as this is their first year starting, whether they're a senior or a junior. But they're starting to come together. They're starting to trust each other, and that's key on defense. You can't be physical and aggressive in your position and do your job if you don't trust the guys around you.
Well, especially what you guys do. I mean, you'll throw 8 men in a box up there sometimes and just challenge people, and that means you got to trust each other, right?
No doubt. You got to stop the run first, and we've challenged our guys to do that. We did a good job, but, you know, you also have to be disciplined and understand that play action comes with that. And so with the more reps we get, I think the more confident we're getting in what we're trying to do defensively and load the box, whether it's 9 or 10 guys or whether we try to just play sound defense in our base.
If there's any coach out there who's probably got a player or two you haven't seen yet this year, it would be Orland Culp. But then again, you may have seen them all over the years. Red Bluff, very deceptive winless team.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell you guys, never underestimate a team that can score. And those guys are going to play hard. I mean, their 0-4 record is not indicative of who they are on the field. And so, you know, it's league. And so we put up our league records last week and said, hey, they're 0-0 in league. Obviously, that's changed this week. But, you know, it's a whole new ballgame. And every game means more in league. And so you don't worry about who you're playing as much as you worry about how you're playing. And Red Bluff's going to come out and they're going to play hard. I mean, we've played them in games where, they just keep coming at you. And so that's what we anticipate. That's what we expect from a Coach Culp team. It's just a team that's not going to quit. A team that's going to work hard. And then we have to prepare. And we have to play well then we're ending up 0-1 in league.
So much more fun. Last question to open up the league schedule at home. You know you're going to have a raucous crowd. They'll bring a good crowd, but regardless, I imagine there'll be a real great energy here for kickoff.
Oh, no doubt. We've been gone for 3 weeks with our bye week and our two away games and our two far away games. So it'll be nice to be home, to get back to our home game routine, to be in front of our fans again. It's just fun to do that. I mean, this is a great community. Palisades is really special, and those who get to be out here get to experience that and know what I'm talking about.
Joey Brown, head coach of Foothill High School, our Game of the Week hosts this Friday night.
Spoke with Coach Brown just a couple of nights ago. We'll also hopefully have Coach Culp as part of our pregame show coming your way on Friday night. Again, pregame 7:15, kickoff at 7:30. And, you know, another great way to I really dig what those guys over at ShastaCountySports.com are doing, too. So you can always kind of follow some of the lead-in stuff to them. Thanks, Joey Brown, for taking that time. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun. We're going to take a break, and hopefully when we come back, we'll be talking to Brian Hamilton, head coach of the Shasta College Knights. That's when we return. Thanks for tuning in to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm your host, Brent Weber. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Pleased to be joined on the phone right now, literally from the practice field, Coach Brian Hamilton, who, you know, it almost seems, Brian, and we'll kind of back my way into this, that it was inevitable that one day, and I know you wouldn't have said this, that one day you would be head coach, Brian Hamilton, of the Shasta College Knights, because you cut your teeth here, Enterprise High School. Obviously, you went away, you played, you learned stuff, but you came back, you built Foothill, the great years at Foothill, who is our game of the week, by the way, this week in high school football. And, won Foothill's only CIF title back in 2007. I know this is, you know, down that... You're a coach, so that's history, right? But the fact is,
good history.
Yeah, and then at Shasta, you know, you were part of a terrific program, and the door just happened to open. It seemed like time, and the changing of the guard happened. Coach Thompson gives up the reins, and you take over, and lo and behold, it's working. You guys are off to the sixth 4-0 start in school history.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome out here. I've really enjoyed it. I started football playing for the Reading Colts when I was 8 years old. Played for the Colts, then I moved over and played for the Eagles, and then I went to Enterprise High School, played there. Then I coached at Foothill High School, I coached at the college. So this has been this community has been, very important to me as far as football, and I had a chance to be a community guy in that sense. So when I got an opportunity to work with Craig out here on two different stints, it was just something I couldn't pass up. He's a tremendous guy, tremendous friend. And then when he decided that he would like to change roles and do something different, I was really blessed to be able to step into that role. And it's worked out tremendously well. He's still on staff. He's coordinating the defense, and our defense is one of the tops in the state. So I think he's thriving in what he's doing, and I certainly enjoy what I'm doing. So it's a great situation.
I was going to say, I mean, we're expecting your team to eventually, with your offensive background, we're expecting your team to, you know, as you are, to eventually be one of those 40, 50 point a night, that's not fair, but, you know, 40 yeah. point a night teams. But so far, you got to tip your cap to that Wiley assistant coach and what he's done over there on defense.
Well, I'm a firm believer in coaching to your strengths and understanding what the personality of your team is. We have great weapons on offense. We're doing a tremendous job of time and possession, keeping our defense fresh. Our defense right now is averaging, defending about 52 snaps a game. And in today's modern spread football, you're really defending somewhere between 70 and 75 in a college game. So
yeah.
You think about that over a year, I mean, over 10 games, defending 20 plays less a game, that's 200 plays. That's 4 games. Of and not having to defend as far as number of snaps. So, you know, we know where our strength is right now as far as just our defense is tremendous. Our special teams are really, really good. We put a lot of work into that. Coach Anthony Cavalli has done a tremendous job there. And offensively, we kind of understand that our job is to get out there, you know, control the clock, move the chains. We want to score every time. I always tell my offense that a little part of me dies every time when we don't score. I'm still competitive. But, at the end of the day, we're doing our jobs. We're winning football games. We're, you know, getting better. And eventually we're going to score a lot of points. But the main thing is you score one more than the opponent. And we've done that 4 weeks. And so we're really pleased with what we have in all three phases right now.
Coming off that 22-6 win over Sac City, moving up in the state and the North State rankings, one of the NorCal rankings, you're up to number 5 in NorCal now, 15th or 12th, depending on which poll. And either way, that's a benefit of just kind of doing what you expect to do at Shasta College football, frankly. To fans out there who aren't as familiar, you know, who maybe thought about going to games or they're proud of you guys, but they don't know as much about it, throw out as many names as you can as we're talking. But I see guys that, you know, we've seen over the years here that really have developed in just one or two. A guy like Detrius Kelso, who nobody knew if he was going to be a big-time college player or if he will be, but there's one of those guys that was on Shasta's championship team a couple of years ago that helping your defense put pressure on quarterbacks, which, as you said, in college football or football anywhere, is probably the most important thing you can do.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in who we're putting on the field and the opportunity that Shasta College provides local and out-of-area football players. You know, and for me, you know, we are very – one of our biggest priorities is our culture. I always, on the bottom of my emails, it says culture beats scheme. And what I mean by that is the family you build and the culture you have as a program is always going to be what type of offense you run or what kind of defense you run, you know. So, we really are proud of the guys that we put on the football field. They're good students. We made a goal this year to be a 3.0 average team. And in the spring, we met that with a 3.1. We're being involved with community service. We're going to be involved this week with the Think Pink luncheon down at Wind River for cancer victims and survivors. And so we're really proud of what we put on the football field. And locally, you know, our defense got a lot of Northern Section guys playing on. You got Cole Parker from Corning, who's one of the top guys in the state in sacks. You got Dietrich Kelsaw playing extremely well. You got Troy Lyons also off that same team playing middle backer. You got Jill Merkel from Enterprise playing free safety. And, you know, you got Garrison Roach from the coast area. And I could go on and on. And offensively, we've got some guys too from the area. So we're proud of that. You know, we recruit out of the area. You have to compete at the national level. And the guys we bring in, we vet. We try to bring in people that are good for the community, people that will really love our community. And we've been really blessed this year to have some tremendous guys that really have bought into the culture, really, really understand the priorities of being a student athlete and being a positive impact on the community. And then in that, I always believe the byproduct of doing those little things right and being, you know, engaged in those things I just described is wins on the football field. So, so far the formula is working. It's the only formula I really know. Ever since I've been a coach, I've been a head coach at 23, a JV head coach at Foothill High School when I was 23 years old, fresh out of college. And, it's the only formula I really know, is to make sure guys feel like they're part of something special and do the little things right. And when you do those things, the big things happen. So far, so good.
Well, can we take a break here, Jared? We're going to take a break. I know Coach has got places to be, but he's going to stick around with us for a little bit so we can talk about some of the guys he's coached over the years and a little bit more, obviously, about this team and where some of his influences have come from, because I want to get you fired up to go out there and watch Shasta College Knights. Bye week coming up in 2 weeks, but you guys are at home this week. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back with the head coach of the Shasta College Knights. Thanks for joining us on Scorecard Scribblings. Don't go away. More Brian Hamilton in just a moment.
So what's Scorecard Scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit 5starbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The free Reading Rancheria Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. It's beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The free Reading Rancheria Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For more information, call 440-9137 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
All right, back on Scorecard Scribblings. Your host, Brent Weber here. I was having fun talking with Coach Brian Hamilton of the Shasta College Knights just about the guys on his roster. Some of the ones, you know, who we may know here may not be as big a name in the bigger overall picture, but guys like Vinny Smith, who was part of that Shasta College high school team I mentioned, and folks thought, well, here was a kid who shattered. He led the northern section, I believe, in rushing. Shattered Shasta High School's rushing record, was as good a high school season as you're going to have, and crickets when it came recruiting time at the four-year level, I think, for the most part. And here's a guy you were probably drooling to get that little guy, because even though he's little, he's showing you a year later, 2 years later, that he's got the intangibles.
Yeah, Vinny's an awesome guy. No, we've had a lot of success with guys in Northern Section running back. You look at Connor Sabera, you look at guys like Justin Hellier. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, you know, were top, and Justin being a Shasta High School guy as well, that came to play for us. I mean, these guys, you know, led the state in rushing, were all state and all sorts of things. And so, to get a guy like Vinny under, you know, in our fold and in the green and white was tremendous for us. Unfortunately, last year he broke his collarbone in camp and so had to sit out a year and come back out this year as a freshman, and we are very glad to have him. He's learning how to run in a zone system. He ran in a gap system in high school, so he's learning how to run in a zone system that takes time, and some people aren't real natural at it, but he's learning how to do it, and he's doing it in a big way for us. And, you know, his touches per game are increasing, and he's being productive, and it gives us a nice 1-2 punch with Matthew McCree at the running back spot. So we're excited about those guys. We're getting better in the run game every week, and we need to be able to run the football to continue to have the success that we're having.
And the kind of offense that let's be honest. I mean, this, there's not big. There wasn't a big. You're running the same stuff, right? But the fact of the matter is, it does take time with any team, especially at the 2 year level. That, or it's essentially a 3 year level in many cases. But it takes time to get an offense like yours going. Sometimes the quarterback's the key, right?
For sure. And you know, our quarterback right now, I think he's leading our conference. We're right up there in passing yards. But again, we've gotten in the red zone, which is in the scoring areas, and we just haven't scored as many touchdowns as we like. But that being said, all the other aspects of our offense, and, you know, there's a lot of things that the fans don't see, and rightfully so, I mean, because they're looking at the score and they're looking at touchdowns. But there's time of possession. There's how many snaps you get. Right now we're averaging around 70 snaps a game, which is 20 more than our opponent. So, you know, we're keeping the defense fresh. We're controlling the clock. We're right up there in first downs with the, you know, with our conference leaders. Passing yards, I think we're leading it or second, after this last game, but going into last game, we were number one in passing yards. So there's some really good things happening on offense, and we've got some really good kids, really good, you know, offensive linemen and things like that. And our quarterback, you know, he's a veteran, so he's doing his job as well. And we just gotta, you know, continue to do what we do. And if it's good enough to win games, I'm happy about that. And then, of course, you know, defense is putting us on short fields. They're doing a tremendous job. And then our special teams, when I took over the program, one of the areas I said I wanted to be the best at in our conference and one of the best in the state was our special teams. And so we've really dedicated a lot of focus and time and made that a priority and made that a honorable position on our football team. It's not something we just do. It's something we look forward to doing and, just taking a different approach. And it's really paid off. Our field goal kicker has already kicked more field goals than we kicked all of last year. Our punter is averaging 40 yards a punt. We've had two punt returns for touchdowns. We're doing excellent job on the kick return. And, it's only game four. So, you know, we're going into game five. So I'm really pleased with where we're at. And, Vinny at the running back spot. He's a big part of that. We want to be physical and he's a physical football player and a physical runner. So, he fits really well into what we do scheme wise.
Now, I've gotten you to avoid pronouncing your quarterback's first name, but it's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, well, he goes by Hoke. That's the easy way to do it. But his name is Hoke Alani.
Okay.
And I got to be honest with you, when I was recruiting him, I thought, because I hadn't seen him, I was talking on the phone, I thought maybe he was from Hawaii or something of that nature. And we get him here, and he's a 6'2" redheaded kid that doesn't use the name Hoke Alani, and he hasn't told me yet. So I'll figure it out one of these days. But he's an awesome young man and does a great job. And, we call him Hoke for short.
Mm-hmm.
Hoke
Wickard, right?
Hoke Alani Wickard's a lot to say.
Yeah. But he's a big, that's what I said. He's 6'2", 220-something from Lower Lake. So,
he's from a small school. And, you know, we've had a lot of success over the years here, especially this year with guys from smaller schools. I mean, you know, obviously everybody thinks you have to be from a big school to play football, but if you can play football, you can play. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to acclimate to the speed and the size because junior college, especially the junior college level we're playing at, which is tough in the state,
mm-hmm.
you're playing with guys that are Division I, Division II caliber football players. And so, you know, when you come from some of those smaller schools, it takes a little bit of time maybe to acclimate to the speed and stuff. But we've had tremendous success with guys from, you know, smaller schools, and we don't mind that at all. We love going up in the mountains and then the other places and finding those diamonds in the rough, and this is a place where they can succeed and move on to bigger and greater things.
When you're talking about, and this is, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, but I know you, and when you're talking about, people don't think sometimes, they don't understand time of possession, things like that. When I was covering the 49ers, and this was the last, when they beat Tampa in the 95 Super Bowl, that team was as dominant as any team, right? And,
right.
And what people don't remember was that the 49ers defense led the NFL. Pretty much every category. One of the reasons why, you know, there were a couple of reasons, but it was the time of possession that their offense kept the ball, and their defense was so fresh that those guys, if you weren't getting the heck beat out of you by Rice and Young and those guys, then on defense, those guys were fresh, and what an incredible thing that can be.
Well, and that's the formula we're adhering to right now is we want to keep our defense fresh. We don't want to, you know, in the past, I've been a spread, no huddle guy for the last 2 years. And, you know, you're going to score more points that way, but you're also going to put your defense on the field quite a bit more. And they got to play a lot more than they are right now. And so we want to be somewhere in the between. You know, we want to score more points, obviously. We'd like to be up in there in the 30, average 30, 35 a game. And we've had our chances, but, you know, I mean, we're scoring in the high 20s and averaging, but we're doing those little things right that I feel like lead to sustained success, which is, like I said, playing great defense, being in the right spot, you know, having speed on the field on defense so you don't give up big plays, and playing great special teams so that's not a liability. And then offensively going out there, controlling the clock, controlling the line of scrimmage, converting third downs and moving your way down and scoring points, whether it be field goals or whether it be touchdowns. And we'll continue to work to get better in the red zone, but I'm really proud of our guys and really proud of where we're at. We're going to have to get better, though, because, I mean, you know, starting this week, we have a 3-1 team coming here, and it's really good. And then around the corner after the break, we'll get into conference, and you got teams like Sierra and teams Butte College and Siskiyou's and American River. And, you know, these are quality football programs that have quality Division I type guys on their football field. So, you know, we're going to have to be at our ultimate best there to compete and win that conference.
When we're talking about coaching influences that you've had, I mean, you mentioned Mike Leach, you mentioned, but I asked you about, in a break before we started, today's football fan and many people, you just don't hear the name George Allen brought up the way I think it should be. This was a guy who he had that Long Beach program, you know, nobody thought it was even going to be on the face of the earth. And Coach Allen was there, and before that, of course, known for his NFL greatness, but he brought so many levels of teaching of the game to people, and he had so many he was mentor to so many guys. It's cool to see somebody like you still recognizing, hey, Coach Allen passed away, obviously, back then, but you know, we shouldn't forget what kind of influence that guy could have on the game and had on the game.
Well, it was a real honor and a blessing for me as a guy from Redding, California, to play for a coach like George Allen, who obviously was an NFL, you know, just a really well-known guy and had coached the Washington Redskins and the Rams and done a tremendous job. But to see him come in, and he came in at a time in his life where it was going to be his last job, and he was there really to build a program but also to mentor guys. And I actually spent a lot of time with him because he had talked about when he first called me in his office when he first got there, I thought I was in trouble. And so, of course, I was intimidated as heck. I walked into his office, and he sat me down, and all he wanted to talk about was Redding, California, and fishing. I guess he had gone up here quite often and fished and loved the area, so he wanted to pick my brain about fishing and all these things. And we hit it off pretty well, and I enjoyed him. I enjoyed his family. And I knew at that point in time that, after seeing what he had brought to the game and just his passion and just the effect that he had on people, that's kind of what I wanted to do for my career. And to be able to understand the things outside of just X's and O's, because he was a relationship guy. He understood how to build the fabric necessary to be successful, you know, other than just play calling and those type of things. So I got to watch that, be a part of it, really let it marinate. I didn't understand a lot of it until I got a little bit older, until I got to actually be a coach. But I still adhere to many of those philosophies and to those lessons that I learned from George Allen. And he's one of the best ever. Yeah. Now that as I'm getting older, I'm going to be 51 this year. It's been a long time since I played for him, but he has a huge influence in my life and will always be grateful for the time I spent with him.
You've had a chance to coach some pretty good players. Did you know this, that scrawny kid, Ricky Ray, was going to turn out all right?
I don't know who that is. Ricky Ray. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we watched him in high school. You know, he didn't play. I believe it was his junior year he missed in high school because he broke his leg in a summer baseball accident. So really didn't have him on our radar. And then his senior year at Shasta High School, he had a great career in basketball as well. I think he led his team to the state finals. He was known as a great athlete and got to watch him play football. They ran more of a wing T system when he was there at Shasta. So didn't know for sure what kind of pocket quarterback he would be or anything like that. But, when he showed up on campus and started, in meetings, started learning the offense and meetings, paying attention and really understanding the game, I thought, oh man, this kid's pretty smart, sharp. And I was a young guy then too. I was still learning the ropes at the college level. And, man, we got him out on the football field. That first year he was good. I think he threw for 1,800 yards that first year. But that second year he threw for almost 3,000, led us to an undefeated season. He was unbelievable. And, you know, to go on and have the pro career that he's had and do the things that he's done, that is really special to be able to be a part of that and see that grow from here. But that's what Shasta College is about, giving guys an opportunity to play, hone in on their craft, and then get a chance at the next level. And he obviously took that chance to the ultimate level and became a CFL Hall of Famer. And he's a good friend still to this day, and one of our obviously shining knights that we mention often when we talk about Shouts to College.
For those folks who don't know, Canadian Football League, I don't toss around words like legend and great, but greatness is measured over years to me. And boy, that guy played at such a high level. And then he got hurt, I think, that last year, and it kind of was probably the writing on the wall. We'll get him on the show hopefully sometime to talk about it. But, you know, it's cool now that at least the last half of his career, you could always catch the CFL games, you know, at the weird times on ESPN2 or whatever, because I love watching that game.
Yeah, well, it's a fun game, and it's a game that prides itself on slinging the ball around. And I didn't realize this either. They've been playing professional football in CFL longer than we've been playing it here in America. CFL's older than NFL. So it's a well-established league, and he was one of the very best. He'll go down as one of their all-time greats. I think he loves it because I'm not speaking for him, but just so I know of Ricky. You know, in Canada, he's a superstar, and everybody knows him, and he's a celebrity there. But when he comes back home, it's just Ricky, and he gets to hang out with friends and family, and he's a low-key guy. So I think he had the best of both worlds. He could be a celebrity and a great football player in one country and come down here and just kind of be a local guy, and no one really bothered him in this country. And I think that had a lot to do with his happiness and his longevity. And like I said, he's a great friend, and he's a great guy that we point to as far as what junior college football can do for those guys who take it serious and play at a high level.
We're talking to Shasta College Coach Brian Hamilton. Just a couple more minutes if you're not freezing out there as the sun's going down on the field, Coach.
I'm good.
We appreciate it. Has Ricky come out to practice, or is he just trying to get retired for a little bit?
We're going to drag him out here. I haven't talked to him about coming out this year. Normally we bring him out, but he's been so busy, and I know this year is his first year off and he's enjoying his children and stuff. I had to kind of, you know, not pressured him to come out here like that. But I know he would come out here in a heartbeat. He loves teaching guys and you know, having, you know, spread his knowledge. And he's always been very, very thankful and very courteous to Shasta College. He's one of our, like I said, he's one of our all-time greats here as well. So, and on a personal note, Ricky was my first college quarterback that I ever coached, so he'll always be near and dear to me. You know, I had Ricky Ray my first 2 years as an offensive coordinator in college. Went from a head JV football coach in high school to an offensive coordinator in college. And Ricky Ray was my first quarterback. And then that worked out pretty good. And then my next other quarterback was Brian Jones, who was out of Pleasant Valley. And Brian ended up playing at Toledo University and playing in the Arena Football League, some professional, and he was all-world. And so those are my first 4 years as a college coach. I thought this thing was easy. You know, I thought those guys were just on every street corner. But I found out real soon they're not. They're special guys when you get guys like that. It was fun times back in those days when we were slinging it around and doing some things different. Now the game's kind of caught up with everything. Everybody's doing that, but it was fun to watch those guys come out and run the spread offense and sling it around and make a young coach look like he knows what he's doing.
Well, you got Sequoias coming up this weekend. What time is kickoff for? Is it day or night?
Yeah, so normally we play in the evenings here, but because of Sequoias travel, we're going to play at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And it's going to be our Junior Night Nation Day, which means that anybody under 12-year-old is free. They can just come on in, and the first 50 we'll give a Knights football water bottle to. So we want to have as many fans as we can. I know 1 o'clock, sometimes it gets a little light in tennis for day games, but we would love to see this place full. It's an exciting group of guys that's representing the community well. Sequoias is a really good football team. It's going to be a great day. It's supposed to be in the low 80s. It's going to be perfect out here. So, you know, our 12th man out there, Shasta College Knights fans, we'd love to have them out here filling the stadium and having a good time. Plus, it's bang for a buck. It might be the best entertainment in town.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, it's the biggest game we got.
Yeah. it's a fun time out here.
Now, looking ahead, just to tell folks a little bit about and I know we don't want to look too far ahead. You better not let your kids do that. And I know as a coach that's something that staying on the pulse of them is important. But just so folks know, once you get into your conference play, you got a couple of games on the road, a couple of games at home. The season finale at Butte, they look terrific again. You know, just tell us a little bit about some of these other teams so folks can have a better understanding of just how good some of these other programs coming up are.
Well, the junior college football as a whole, at the national level, is really, really good. I mean, it's just, you know, you're playing Division I type caliber guys and programs that are year-round programs now. And, you know, the offensive lines are averaging, you know, 6'3 to 6'5, 330 15 pounds across the board. You got the receivers and running backs and defensive guys. It's just crazy how talented these players are and these coaching staffs are. So when we get into conference, our conference is loaded with talent, loaded with incredible coaches as well. So we go, we've got Sierra College down there after the bye week, and that'll be a tough one on the road. Their electric offense, score a lot of points. And then after that, we have Feather River at home. They're a team that we've played really tight ball games with over the years. We've had their number for, you know, for a few years, but they've been games that have come down to the wire. And then we have Siskiyou's, and that's a rivalry game, and we haven't beat Siskiyou's in a while, so that's one we need to go down up there, and that's always a tough place to go and play Siskiyou's, and that's always a fun game for the fans and for the players. And then we host American River after that. American River is one of the top teams in the nation every year. Incredible program. Tons of people attend that school, so they got a big pool to choose from. And then we close out the regular season at Butte College, which again, we have not beaten Butte since I coached a game with Ricky Ray as our quarterback here on I believe it was Halloween night back whenever years ago. So it's been a while. We're not even looking. Honestly, as a coach, like you said, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at tomorrow's practice, making sure that we know the guys that are banged up are starting to get healthy, and that we have our game plan down for Saturday. But as a fan, you know, looking ahead down the road, there's some big key matchups that are going to be very important for us if we want to accomplish the things that we have set out to accomplish and to attain our goals.
Brian Hamilton, it's been a real, real treat to talk to you. Appreciate you taking the extra time, and looking forward to coming out and watching you guys. And hopefully we get a bunch of kids out there on Saturday. Tell me about that promotion again as you finish up with me.
Yeah, it's Junior Knight Nation Day. So Knight Nation is what we call our fans. The Junior Knight Nation obviously would be the little guys and little gals that want to come out here and look up to our players and see some guys that local guys that are they look them like they're NFL guys, and so we enjoy that. And then the first 50 that come through the gate are going to receive a Shasta College water bottle, and we want to make sure that we're including our youngsters and just our local fans in some of the things we do on promotion. We've got a few other promotions coming up. We'll have a toy drive coming up with the American River game, which we've done for a couple years. I started a couple years ago, in which people get in free when they donate a toy, and then we take those toys to the shelters and to the hospital and distribute those around town. So we want to be a team that's involved with community service and a team that represents our school and our county and our town in a great way. That's a huge priority to me. So this weekend, Junior Night Day, come out and get a water bottle and check out the night.
All right, 1 o'clock kickoff. Thanks, Coach Hamilton, and best of luck Saturday and the rest of the way. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Great talking with you. Thank you.
All right, Scorecard Scribblings. We'll be back in just a sec.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Bell tolls. Scorecard scribblings tonight. High school football. We talked a little bit about that and segued into some junior college football, community college football. Man, I'm actually kind of fired up about Shasta College. I really was always impressed with Coach Hamilton as an assistant and, of course, their program there and taking guys that, you know, might have fallen, been off the radar. I love that about junior college sports. And that's what I like about college sports in general, actually. I worked in the Southeast. I've worked in places where you covered. I've worked at Auburn University. You got schools like Alabama, Georgia. Those I worked at Oklahoma. I worked in the state of Oklahoma as well. And you know, you just those aren't the teams I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rest of the schools where guys, a guy like Ricky Ray, you know, gets his chops going at junior college. A guy like Aaron Rodgers gets his chops at Butte or whatever. And then they become something because they're kids, you know, until they're 18, 19, 20, 21. That's what I love about college sports. Not the big, huge teams, but those underdog kind of teams. Speaking of underdogs, Tampa Rays leading the A's 5-1 in Oakland. But, hey, the A's got one. They got one in the bottom of the third. And Tampa bounced back, got one in the fifth. So that was going to be going on for a while. I just wanted to give you an update on that. I mentioned the NBA. Yes, that's right. The NBA has begun training camp underway, and as odd as it may sound, as odd as it may feel, yes, it is training camp in San Francisco, not in Oakland. But the Warriors at practice. Got a little bit of tomorrow. I have some Steph Curry. I wish I would have pulled that for you, but I didn't. Let's listen into a little bit of Steve Kerr. Next week we'll try to get some Steph from yesterday's season opening press conference at the BioFreeze Performance Center in San Francisco as the Warriors opened training camp yesterday. Let's hear something.
Oh, great! I mean, D'Angelo is really
he's talking about D'Angelo Russell.
Talk with
who's new on the
he's
team.
He's a very engaging guy. I've talked to Luke Walton quite a bit about him since Luke had him in L.A., and we have that connection. And I think it's really helpful for D'Angelo to have played for Luke because, you know, a lot of the stuff we do in practice is very similar. So he said it felt like second nature to him to go through what we did today.
So I'm kind of listening in to this press conference to help you out.
Practice drills, some of the offensive
talking about what they did at
stuff,
practice.
You know, some similarities, and obviously it's just the first day, but he was very comfortable out there.
How do you see him, you know,
talking more, still talking here about about D'Angelo Russell, who's going to be a key player for them. Let's hear his more of Kerr's
response. Yeah, I think he'll be good off the ball. You know, he's a clever passer, clever basketball player, so he understands how to come off a pin down without the ball. And then once he gets in traffic in the paint, he understands how to create either a shot or get the ball back out to somebody who is not covered. And that's a big deal. So I'm really confident he'll be able to play, you know, with and without the ball for us.
Just one more answer. Let's see what he's talking about here.
Well, Ron is still going to play a big role with our staff, I think,
as assistant coach.
The bigger change is Jaron Collins taking on more responsibility in a defensive coordinator role. So Ron will help in all aspects, and we'll lean on Ron for his defensive acumen and player development.